And with great pleasure, I welcome on Drew Taddea to the show. Drew, did I say your name right?
It's actually Taddea, but that's close.
Taddea. Yeah, I took Spanish in school, so I try to pronounce everything with a Spanish slant to this day, you know?
That's funny. I lived in L.A. for a little bit, so anytime like a different language comes up, like anything from French to German, I try to use the Spanish word for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the way. So, Drew, for our listeners that don't know, who is Drew Taddea?
Or Taddea.
Taddea.
We can go with Taddea if you want.
I will remember it's Taddea.
All right. Thanks, James. Well, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and, you know, sit down, jam a little bit, talk with your audience. I'm excited and I'm happy to be here. So I appreciate that.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on.
So I guess in short, I mean, I spent the last 10 years traveling the world as a professional athlete, and everything I've learned is basically what I teach now. So I jumped into this entrepreneur world with 2 feet, kind of crazy adventure, the most difficult thing I've ever done. And it's crazy. It's exciting and crazy, and there's so many successes and failures, and just something I look forward to every day. So right now I have a syndicated health and wellness radio show. We take a more holistic approach, and after that goes on air on a few different markets. We go to put that on as a podcast. That's called Exploring Mind and Body. I wrote a book called Detoxify Yourself, all about learning about the toxins we put in our body and why and what to avoid. I produce my own whole food protein supplement. I just thought, oh, the industry is full of a whole lot of nonsense that I didn't feel comfortable recommending. So I designed my own. And I also run a membership site online, health and wellness. So that's pretty much, I do fitness, health, nutrition all day, all the time. That's what I do.
That's what we love around here. Obviously for time constraints, like, I would ask you a million questions and this podcast would be like 4 days long. Cause I've had the entrepreneurial bug, like pretty much like I was the kid trying to like, you know, sell cassette tapes of me like talking like the original podcast. Yeah. With the big boom boxes. I was like, this is James's radio show, you know? So I've always had like, you know, bad ideas for businesses, you know, like lots of things. So I could talk entrepreneurial stuff all day, you know? It's fun.
I like the bad idea part. Like, I think everyone, like people that don't really know, they just know of entrepreneurs. They don't realize that we've gone through a whole lot of bad ideas before we get on to any good one.
Yeah. And it's not just the bad ideas. It's like, I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I would say in a week average, I have like 5 business ideas. I don't have time or money for, you know, any of them really, you know, and it's like a couple of them, you know, like you get like dumb ideas. You're like, oh, that's, you know, I could make a few bucks on that, but whatever. And then you get some ideas like, man, if I had like ballpark, you know, money, this would be a great, like, you know, thing. And I just, you know, you don't have time either. So you got to pick and choose what you want to do. Yeah. So
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So from reading about you online, it seems like you too have the self-experimenting bug. Like, you've gone through, and myself, you know, you try everything, you know, for the pursuit of health and fitness and nutrition. You know, you try pretty much everything. And along the way, you know, some things work, some things don't work. So tell me about that self-experimenting bug, and then, you know, how you found what worked.
I mean, in fitness, it's just, I think that for me, I grew up here in Canada, and we had like 16 games a season for baseball. Let's say I played a handful of sports. And I mean, then I went down to California to play college baseball. And I mean, 16 games was half of their preseason. So it was like this raw kid that was super passionate, excited to play, wasn't going to take no for an answer. That sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was a good athlete, but if you compare me to guys that have been recruited and trained and seasoned for years since they're 12 years old, I mean, I probably had a quarter of the experience. And, you know, it's just, I mean, experience, it's, you know, it's going through the reps. I ran into that when I played in Australia. There were guys that had incredible skill or talent, but they didn't have any refined coaching. They didn't have any skills. They didn't have, and I don't mean to, I have tons of Australian listeners on my show. I'm not quite sure why exactly, but
yeah,
I don't mean that to be insulting. I just mean that those of us that don't have the reps and experience, we're just raw and excited and want to get out mm-hmm. there and play. And, you know, when I got down there, the truth of the matter is I wasn't good enough. I needed to find a way to get good enough. And I looked to health and nutrition and fitness, and I just started to experiment on different foods that would make me heal quicker, run faster, lift heavier weights. And then the same thing with fitness. I lived in the gym. I was trying different workouts. I was trying different ways to be efficient. And that was just how I did it. That was my method of being able to stand out and move up the ranks and move on to professional ball.
Awesome. Yeah. Some people I think just don't have it. Like they don't have that just self experimenting bug. Like they don't want to like go through the tries. They don't want to, some people just want to be told, do this now. Okay. I'll go do that. Yeah, sure. It's a mindset that some of us just have and some don't.
You know, it's easier. It's easier just to follow along. It's easier to do what the other person does. You know, it's challenging. It's difficult. And if you're not willing to put yourself through the challenges and the difficult measures it takes to put all these experiments through your body, I mean, more than half of them don't work. Just like entrepreneurship, you find a little success and you're through the roof and then you run into failure again. That's how we live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just launched a paleo pumpkin recipe ebook on my website a week ago. I have sold none, so but it just sits there. And if I sell one, I sell one. If I don't, I don't. Whatever. Yeah, failures and successes. So
yeah, that's how it works. Someone just asked me about writing a book, and I was like. Yeah, I just said that writing a book, everyone thinks that you're going to make tons of money as soon as you publish it. And it's unfortunately, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah. Some people will, and if you market it right and it's what the market wants, then, you might. I figured pumpkin recipes in the fall should make $1 million my first day, right? So... it seems like you focus a lot on stress, which I agree you should. It needs to be like one of the top things you work on. So what role does stress play on our overall health?
Oh man, like stress is everything. Stress is absolutely everything. I can't say that enough and in many different ways. We live in a stressed out society where we live outside of our... Well, let's say our financial income, we live in debt, we live on credit cards, we're stressed out financially, we buy houses and cars that we can't afford. I mean, that's just normal, and that's just finances. If you look at nutrition, for example, I mean, we live at coffee places in North America, pastries, donuts. I mean, we're putting stress on our body in every way, shape, and form we could possibly think of. And then we expect our body, our minds and body to perform at optimal level, which doesn't happen. It's impossible. And then we're not active. We're not an active society. And that's the number one way to reduce stress. So the stress to me is where every health issue begins. It begins with stress in some way, shape, or form. And without addressing it, we're just going to continue to be, sick and overweight and on medication and miserable with our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I lost 100 pounds and I've kept it off for over a year. And I blame that success almost all on reducing stress. So what I did was I quit my management job, built a tiny house, and had like a job that I don't care about. Like it pays my bills. It allows me to eat nothing but grass-fed meat, because I don't have bills. And, before with self-experimenting, I'd lost weight before, but it always sort of naggles and comes back up. But without that stress, stays away. Like, if you want to lose weight, lose stress. It will, you know, unless you de-stress but still keep, you know, eating Twinkies and sitting on your couch watching, you know, 70 hours of TV a week, the weight will probably follow the stress. Like, lose stress, lose weight.
That's amazing. Like, that's incredible. First of all, congrats on the 100 pounds.
Thanks.
It's amazing. And then I couldn't agree more. That's awesome. You should write a testimonial for me. And I'll share it everywhere. But I've never heard it in that way, you know, lose the stress, lose the pounds. But that's exactly right. And that's exactly what I teach, is without addressing your stress levels, the other parts in your air, you could work out as much as you want. You could be healthy, but it's difficult to lose weight, let's say, for example, when we're stressed out. It's difficult to have energy because our body just holds on to stress in so many different ways. And once we get into, you know, deeper aspects of health and wellness, I believe that every major dis-ease in our body comes from some form of stress.
Yeah, that's what I agree with you. I hate when people try to push health, fitness, nutrition, and only focus on like one aspect of it instead of an overall sort of holistic approach. Like, you know, you got to take care of everything to, you know, be a better person, you know, to be healthier, to be fit, you know, and have that mental clarity. Stress is like right up there. Like, you know, stress, sleep, got to have those, you know, don't eat junky food. You take care of those, you'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. Like, that's why I teach lifestyle. And everyone wants to know, like, how do I have sustainable changes? How do I – like, I could tell you how to lose weight. I'll tell you how to lose weight right now. You dehydrate for 3 days. You carb deplete.
Yeah.
And eat a bunch of protein, and you're good. You'll lose 10 pounds probably, 5 to 10 pounds, and you'll be miserable. You won't sleep. You'll have emotional disorders, at least for that short amount of time. And you'll gain back more weight than before you started. Guaranteed.
Funny story. My co-host, who's not on this episode, he had a Biggest Loser contest thing at his work a few years ago. And there was a lot of money in the pot. Like, he was like, James, this is like a few $100 if I win this. You coach me to win this contest. Like, I'll do every single thing you say to win this contest. And I threw everything at the bucket. Like, you know, low carb, reduced sodium, extreme, like, MMA type, you know, weight loss, you know, through dehydration. He dropped like 60 pounds in a month, you know, because you dehydrate yourself, you drop carbs, you do all that stuff. Yeah, you're gonna lose weight. He was not happy, but he was happy when he won, you know, the hundreds of dollars. And obviously, of course, soon as it was over, he went right back to eating, you know, normal way. So it's not sustainable, is what you and I are saying here. It's, yeah, you can do it, but the results aren't really, they're not sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point? Like, for me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, it's the same thing with a 3-day detox or a fast. I mean, we do a certain thing. You know, first of all, we put in enormous amounts of more stress on our body by depriving it of every nutrient our body needs, the little that we may get to begin with. And then we go back to our normal lifestyle after that brought us to the detox in the first place. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, you know, why would you do it? It seems like a whole lot of wasted time to me.
It does. And I have questions about detox later, because it's one of those things that I'm not very knowledgeable about, and I'll explain my thoughts then. I get a few more things on stress, though, because I think, obviously, stress is very important. So what are some things we can do? Oh, no, what are some things that increase stress levels? Like, what happens in everyday lives that just makes the stress worse?
I mean, that's going to be, I mean, it's the food that we put in our body. I mean, that's first and foremost. We eat every day, at least 2 to 3 times a day, you know, which is far too little if you ask me, but it's those types of foods that we put in our body that our body doesn't recognize, it doesn't utilize, it doesn't absorb. Here's what happens when our body's like a giant defense mechanism. It's absolutely incredible to me how our body is formed in every aspect you can think of. So when you lift weights, for example, your body, let's say you're doing bicep curls, your body puts an amount of stress on your biceps, so it builds back stronger next time. So if you do that, put that same amount of stress, it can handle it. And our body does that in different ways. So if we take food, for example, you put that amount of stress on your body. Your body doesn't know how to utilize, recognize, or absorb it. So our body is defending itself from these toxins by putting fat molecules around toxic substances because it can't burn off as energy, which makes us gain body fat or retain body fat at a higher level. So that's probably the detailed, or if you want to go in depth about what toxins do and why we gain body fat, that's the reason why we continue to accumulate body fat by putting low quality foods in our body.
Awesome. Yeah. Low quality foods.
And I mean,
where it's at.
Yeah, that's the biggest one. We're highly processed, refined, everything you can think of, from, you know, white bread to packaged foods. I mean, we need to start looking at, I suppose we'll get into the better quality that we should be putting in our body, but staying away from those foods, those toxic substances, would be number one. And then if we get into the next one, it would be the things that we know we shouldn't be putting in our body. I mean, alcohol, tobacco, those difficult things that our body is like, what are you doing to me? I mean, those are toxic substances that increase our stress level and we don't even think about it.
Yeah. No one ever thinks about alcohol like that. And when you are drunk, you are intoxicated. yeah. So wait a second. So to toot my own horn here, 2 days from now, I'll be 3 years sober. So by the time this podcast comes out, I will have not had alcohol in 3 years. And that has made such a huge difference in my life, for weight loss, for mental, like, I don't know if you drink or not. Canadians, you probably do. but yeah, so I had a hard time ever following a diet when I still drank. Like, I would, you know, I would eat like strict paleo until I drank, and then I'm like, oh, you know what, wings sound really good. Like, and I gotta have some pizza, you know, and then screw it, you're off the diet. And, you know, and then it's like, the next day you wake up with a hangover and you're like, oh, I got to have some bread in my stomach. And then you have like, and you know, like, so from like one night of drinking, you've like pretty much wasted half your week. And then like, you're back on the diet for, you know, 2 or 3 days. And it's like, oh, it's the weekend, I got to drink again.
You're talking to so many people. I mean, that's just how it seems to work. I mean, we work hard till from Monday to Thursday afternoon on whatever program we have. And then, you know, Thursday night wings, Friday night bar, pick yourself back up. Saturday's the same thing. And with you yo-yoing back and forth with, you know, alcohol and bad nutrition, we try to get back on Monday, but I mean, it's so difficult to create healthy habits in that manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. You know what? And I heard on a podcast one time, I think it was Rob Wolf, someone wrote in and they were like, they're trying to have basically Rob like justify them drinking. And he was like, if you need me to justify you drinking, you might have a problem. Yeah. And I was listening going, oh, that's me. Like I could have very well wrote that question. So, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, how can I make alcohol work with my fitness? Like, maybe you need to rethink that. So not to turn this into the don't drink, podcast. And so my next question was, how can we decrease stress? You pretty much covered that.
So just let me touch on, if you don't mind,
go ahead.
I just want to touch on that environment part, because when you talk about, you know, drinking or whatever it is, drinking, it could be you meet with your friends for pizza, or you do things that are highly inactive, whatever it is. I mean, it's really your environment. So if you hang out with a whole bunch of people or your high school buddies, and every Friday night, it's, you know, you're going to the bar or Saturday, whatever it is. I mean, like you said, we don't want to focus on drinking, but I mean, whatever your environment is, that's going to cause you many times more stress and put more stress on our body. So it could be hanging out at the lunchroom in a corporate office. I mean, there's nothing good goes on there, from donuts to gossip. I mean, that's your environment. That's affecting you in a negative manner. And it's no different from your friends at home. If your friends at home aren't participating in the most productive type of activities, more times than not, that's going to put more stress on your body.
Absolutely. So One of the things that you focus on to reduce stress is activity. And I promote playing, you know, whatever your form of playing that's active, not video gaming, as a stress reducer. So tell us about that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, activity, exercise, it's the number one way to reduce stress without a doubt. I don't think there's any expert that's going to say that's not true or it's a close second to something else. The best way to reduce stress is to be active. Now, unfortunately, when we're most stressed out, that's when we have our least activity. You know, holidays are coming up, when we have there's always a holiday, there's always a birthday, there's always some kind of celebration, there's always a reason not to. So if we took a better understanding of finding ways why we should instead of ways why we shouldn't, I mean, we'd be so much better off. And I mean, when we go back to different forms of holidays, or I mean, it's just never ending. So understanding that there is time, we all have enough, we all have the same hours in the day, we all have the opportunity to be active in some form, that's going to help reduce our stress level. And I love what you're talking about with being something fun and being active. For example, you know, I enjoy working out. That's something that I just do. It's part of my life. I enjoy working out in different ways. But I enjoy slacklining as well. And that's a new passion of mine. I absolutely love it. It's challenging. It's, you know, it's difficult. It seems like there's no end to tricks and things that you can do. So if you could find something that you love and you look forward to that's active, that's something else that will help you reduce stress.
Absolutely. I have noticed that even if you find people that are fairly – if you find couch potatoes, like my co-host is a couch potato, there's usually something that you can find that they're like – so like if I'm like, hey, let's go to the gym, he's like, no, James, you go F yourself. if I'm like, yeah. If I'm like, hey, let's go outside and throw the frisbee, he's like – Yeah, let's go do that. You know, and he'll run around and play with the frisbee. So, you know, there's always something fun. Like, you know, some people they really like going to the gym. I did CrossFit for a year, and you know, it had its pluses, it had its negatives, but it was a lot of fun. I actually dug that. So find something that you like to get you outside and doing it, because you know, if some people on TV or whatever, like, you need to go to the gym and you need to do a spin cycle, like spin classes 3 times a week. People are like, nah, that's boring. Or they dig it and they do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many things that you... Sorry, I think there was a lag there. I was just going to say, there's so many things that you could do. There's, you know, if some people, like, I don't love running. If you don't love to do some exercise, don't do it. But keep trying different things, because just like you said, some people like CrossFit. Some people like I like outdoor workouts, for example. I really dislike hanging out in the gym and lifting heavy weights. But then you have someone else that loves to see how much they can bench press or deadlift. I mean, if that's you, then go and do it. Enjoy yourself. Just find something that's a fit for you.
Yeah. I sort of off topic here. I have actually looked at slacklining a lot, and that looks like fun. Like I have sort of an outdoor, you might dig this. I have an outdoor sort of like workout area that I built. It's like just basically four by four posts sunk in the ground, concrete, and I have a pull-up bar, I have a plyo box, I have an Olympic barbell at home with some weights, and on top of like the workout area, there's also hammocks hung on it, so I can work out, or I can like hammock and hang out in nature surrounded by trees, you know. So those are some of the things I like, and you know, I kind of want to like build to it and add more stuff, like, you know, I could throw a slack line on it fairly easily, you know, because there's about 12 feet or so between poles, and poles are like $4. I can go buy a new pole and sink another one in the ground further out and do even more to it.
That's awesome. I want to come and hang out in your backyard.
Yeah, it's fun. But yeah, slacklining does look fun. I don't know. I don't watch much TV, especially now, because I end up, you know, working on my business every free minute I got. Yeah. But I do like to watch Ninja Warrior on occasion, and that just looks like a lot of fun. Actually, I don't know if you have seen Ninja Warrior, but there's a Ninja Warrior trampoline park not far from where I live. And me and my girlfriend went a few months ago. That was a lot of fun. Like, that's, you know, If you can find one near you, anyone listening, like, you need to go give that a try. Like, it's just super fun.
Yeah, and that's something else that we're talking about. There's so many different things that you can do these days. That's funny you mentioned that. They just opened up one of those trampoline indoor parks like 30 minutes from where I'm at. And I mean, it's just something that it's exciting. There's so many things that you can do to be active. I think that more and more these days we're running out of reasons or ways to be active in some form.
Yeah, if you're not doing anything – and dude, you need to go to that trampoline park. But if you're not doing anything, you're just not looking. Like, there is something for everybody. I mean, there just is.
No question.
So let's actually move on to, actually, you know what? I had my girlfriend help me with these questions, and she had one, and I was like, that's a good one. Let's go ahead and throw it in here before we jump into detoxing stuff here. So I read on your About Me page that you had some health issues, and through self-experimenting and whatnot, you fixed them. Can you summarize that for us?
Yeah. So I had these crazy pains in my stomach, and I've never gone through anything like that before. And it was to a point where I knew when they were coming. It came like clockwork. It came like once every 2 to 3 weeks. I would start to get sweats. And I started to get these horrible pains in my stomach. And then throughout the night, you know, I would be dry heaving. I'd wake up in the fetal position next to the toilet. And, you know, I just couldn't, like, I couldn't comprehend, like, what's going on with my body, what's happening to me. So finally, of course, close friends and family that I told about, they talked me into going to see a doctor. I'm not entirely against conventional medicine, but I think that there are better ways at times. And anyways, they couldn't figure out what it was. They put me through a bunch of tests, all those miserable tests that rarely brings up anything. And so I just said, I'm going to do this myself. What else can I do? I didn't have a choice. I wasn't going to live like that. I told myself that, you know, I'm not going to be that person. So I started to look at nutrition. And again, that comes back to experiment on your own body. So I cut out dairy. I cut out soy products, all GMO products, gluten. And that's what I did. That's pretty much what I wrote about in my book. But, you know, that's it. After I stuck to that for 6 months, I would say. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a quick fix at all. It was slow transition. It was slowly cutting things out, learning more about food, reading ingredients, where products came from. You know, 6 months later, no more pains. I stuck to that diet. I wrote about it. I started teaching about it. And that's how I healed myself.
Awesome. I love when the solution is basically a simple solution. You know, no GMOs, no dairy, you know, that's a lot of things. And it is, you know, a paradigm shift for a lot of people. You know, they can't even like fathom, well, what can you eat? I hate that. It's like, what can you eat if you don't eat this, this, and that? You know, it's like, I eat every day and I don't suffer for food. Like, if you follow me on Instagram, you're like, give me a plate of that. I will have that. Give it here. So yeah, I don't understand people. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I get that quite a bit. You know, I teach a highly plant-based diet for personally. Anyway, everyone has their own beliefs, of course, but that's how I live. That's how I've seen the best results. And a lot of people say, well, if there's no meat on your plate, you know, what do you eat? And that's just the way we were raised. That's our lifestyle. That's, you know, when we say what's for dinner, we say chicken, or what's for dinner, steak. I mean, that's how we were raised. That was the main dish on your plate. The rest is just noise. The rest is just details. So yeah, it's just a whole mindset and working towards those sustainable lifestyle changes to have a different mindset around nutrition, really.
Yeah. I saw that you were basically plant-based, and I was like, I'm not gonna. We won't go down that path too much because I'm a meat person. Well, somewhat. Like, I have to really control myself because if not, I will be purely carnivore. And I can tell you that I don't feel and perform as well if I go crazy and, you know, just eat meat. I'll put on weight and I will. be sort of lethargic. But what I found for me is a sweet spot is to, one, only eat high quality meat, you know, mind blower. no stupid CAFO, no crap, you know, crap food. And I reduce it down to, I only eat grass-fed beef in 3-ounce portions every day. So 3 ounces of grass-fed beef, and I eat like 3 pieces of bacon. That's basically, that's all the meat I eat in a day. 3 ounces of grass-fed beef, 3 pieces of bacon. And for me, that's the sweet spot of both affordability, because you can go pretty crazy on you know, a high-quality diet, which is ridiculous, you know, but you can do it. Like, if you just eat nothing but, like, ribeye steaks every day, your bill's going to be, like, $1,000 a week, you know. And for performance, like, I do really well, maintain weight, and maintain that mental clarity on a smaller amount of higher quality meat. So for me, that works, you know, and for listeners, if you don't, I mean, by all means, like, I really, self-experimenting bug in me really makes me want to, like, give a plant base. And from what I've read of yours, it looks to be smart and well-planned. Compliment to you, because
thank you.
Like, I'm sure you've came across this. Some people are like, oh, I'm vegetarian, and they're like, they're eating Oreos and Diet Coke. No, you're not vegetarian. You're junk foodatarian.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. So I mean, and it looks from you like you. I mean, no GMO, no soy. That's smart. So obviously, you're probably not eating wheat bread. You're not. You know, I think that if you obviously make a diet that's plant-based, not grain-based diet, I think personally that would work well, you know, and avocados and coconut oil being a good portion of your diet. I'm just spitballing here. Like, I actually don't know what you eat.
Well, you're doing pretty well.
I'm saying, like, if I was going to build myself the healthiest plant-based diet, like, you know, it would be a base of healthy vegetables with healthy fats that are vegetable based, you know, olive oils, coconut oil, avocados, probably olives themselves, which I eat olives and drink olive juice daily, but I'm kind of optimizing for some sodium levels, you know, and that would be my take on it. It wouldn't be, you know, a highly grain pasta, probably not legumes, but then there's, anyway, this is just sort of spitballing. I actually saw that you had a program, like a 30-day program, and I thought, you know, for the self-experimenter in me, like, you can pretty much do anything for 30 days. Like, nothing will kill you in 30 days, almost. So I might at some point actually give that a try and, you know, result back my results.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
So let's get into detoxing now, because I've never really focused on detoxing. Like, I've had, you know, because people come to me for, you know, health, nutrition, fitness questions. They're like, what should I do for a detox? And I'm always come back with, eat whole foods that aren't toxic. You know, I just never clicks me. Like, if you just reduce the toxins, then you don't have to detox. But, you know, like I said, I've never looked into it. So, first of all, what is a lifestyle detox?
Lifestyle detox is basically what we've been talking about. So there's three areas that I cover when we look at lifestyle detox. So first of all, it's your environment. Next one is going to be nutrition, what kind of toxins we're putting in our body. And then again, we get back to more activity, fitness levels when we look at, you know, how to get rid of toxins in a more sustainable and even natural manner. So when I look at lifestyle detox, we look at the whole picture, how to reduce our stress levels, how to stop putting toxins in our body, and then how we turn these lifestyle changes into sustainable progression so we can keep them forever, because it's a lifestyle detox.
Yeah. Yeah. The sustainability part is the best. Like, there was a Netflix documentary that I watched some of, because some of those are just really bad. But there was one where a guy went on, I think it was a several month juice only diet. And it didn't seem very sustainable to me. Like, I'm just like, I don't feel that only living on juices is probably the best decision. Whereas, like, I'd rather you just eat a plate of vegetables in various forms of raw and cooked based on, you know, what has the best bioavailability for that particular plant that you're eating. But by all means, you may actually say that a, you know, juice-based diet would be better. I don't think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm kind of with you in that regard. I mean, I don't see how that's sustainable. I don't think that's healthy, to be honest with you. If someone was going to say, I'm going to juice 3 times a day and maybe have a meal, I don't know. Like, who wants to live like that? Could you imagine prepping juice for 3 times a day for a week? I don't know. That's not something that I would want to do with my life, but no judgment here. If that's something someone wants to do, I wouldn't recommend it, and I wouldn't do it myself. So in most cases, if I haven't done it, I don't recommend it.
Yeah, that's the way I was feeling. Like, I was just, I don't know. not for like the portions that he did. So whatever that documentary was, I don't recommend it. Or like, if someone's like, you know, I'm lazy and I just want to like drink a juice for breakfast, I'm more or less okay with it, as long as it's not like, you know, a sugar laden smoothie. You know, if you're going to convert, and even like kale has some issues. Like, apparently, my girlfriend got sick from eating too much kale because she's apparently really sensitive to oxalates, and you know, raw kale pretty high in oxalates, so she had issues with that. So if you made I'm going off on tangents here, but I always do. You listen to you've heard my show. I go down crazy rabbit holes, but yeah, I'd be okay with it if you had like a breakfast smoothie, but not like all of your calories all the time come from, you know, juices and smoothies. Like, that's, anyway.
Yeah, for me, that'd just be a tough lifestyle to live. So that's not something I would recommend, you know, personally. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I like eating. Like, I like actually like eating food and not just drinking stuff all the time. yeah. I actually drank I got sent I'm sure you probably do. Like, I get hit up by companies sometimes to like review products, which is pretty much cool. Everyone should start a blog to get free stuff. But I had a keto based sort of ready to drink powder mix stuff, which was interesting. And, you know, for some survival reasons, I could see that having, you know, ketone based powder mix stuff could be interesting. So I made a 2,000 calorie bulletproof coffee that is pretty much all I drank yesterday. And no, that is not sustainable. And it was really filling, but, you know, not sustainable. So tell me why conventional detoxes just don't work.
It's conventional detoxes. I mean, well, let's say, for example, like, as a society, we're highly addicted to sugar. Sugar's in everything.
Really?
Yeah, crazy, right? So, I mean, sugar's in everything. It's detrimental to your health. If you look at the definition, I'm sure we could find many that would be almost exactly the same definition as a drug, as, you know, as the sugar's definition.
And, oh, it is.
And I mean, so if we strip away sugar, we go through, you know, without what I would call sustainability, without slowly taking away one product at a time, or at least paying attention to the products that have sugar in it that we're consuming on a regular basis, we put more stress on our body. So we start getting sweat. We start sweating. We have emotional issues. We're not able to sleep. This is a form of detox, and it's not a healthy way, because our body is really has no idea what's going on. Think about the chaos your body's going through when it's used to getting a drug in its body on a regular basis. It's a highly addictive, and then it's gone. All of a sudden, that's it. There's no more. And to me, those 3-day detoxes, those 3-day cleanses, put more stress and detriment on our body and our health than not doing it at all.
Totally agree. A lot of people that, I guess, don't realize that fat is really good for binding up toxins. So doing that stuff, you know, you just flood your system with lots of them, and that's not good. I mean, it just seems like just eat, like, so it kind of seems like we're agreeing here that you should just not, you should limit your toxic load anyway, instead of just trying to, like, you know, do a quick fix. Like, quick fix is not the best idea. Lifestyle change, probably a good idea.
Seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's and that's what every time that question comes to me, I'm just like, so you want to eat like crap 90% of the time and then like drink a kale shake once a week and that'll fix your problem? No, it won't. There's no magic pill. Just stop eating, you know, stop eating junk at least, you know, like 85% of the time, and then your body naturally has methods to deal with the toxins. So if you just, the more you do to reduce that toxic load, the better off you are. Like, yeah, I've just never understood like quick fix detoxes as opposed to like a lifestyle detox, like you said.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's our society. Like, it's the way we're raised. It's the way we're trained. I mean, we're, you know, fast food industry. We got drive-throughs. We have microwaves. We have instant coffee or microwave dinners, whatever it is, text messages. I mean, we want an answer right now. And it's no different when it comes to our health. It's even worse when it comes to our health. All those nonsense companies promise you 10 pounds in 10 days on this shake, diet or detox. I mean, it's just a bunch of, it's just difficult. And I understand where it comes from. But I also think we should also understand that that's not the way to get results. I mean, I told you, we already talked about how you get simple, easy, quick results. But if that's not going to last, you know, what's the point? What are we doing it for?
Yeah, it's like the mentality of like so many people just want like a quick pill solution. And I'm also, I'm really disappointed by sort of like the, some of the healthcare leaders, government, doctors, because they're some of the ones that are pushing all this wrong information, you know, and it's what causes a lot of confusion with people. Like, unless you are a self-experimenter like we are, you know, and you realize the logical fallacy that they're pushing, that like, you know, if you try something that your doctor tells you and it doesn't work, then you go find something that does. You know, you went to the doctors and they ran tests and they're like, oh, we don't know. So instead of just saying, oh, well, you know, I'll just keep eating these bagels, whatever, you know, you went and found a solution and it worked, you know, and you had to put in time. Like, I just wish that, like, you know, what sort of us alternative health people are talking about would become more mainstream. Like, so in America several years ago, when the, and I'm not big on government, but this is a chance that they could have made things good. They could have made things right. When they reformatted our like nutritional guidelines and data, you know, with the food pyramid, you know, they had a chance to sort of rethink that and, you know, take it away from a carb-heavy, grain-based, you know, recommendation to something that was healthier that actually works. And they're like, you know, and they had guests, people come up, you know, to talk Congress, and you know, they talk about them. And they're like, yeah, we're just going to stick with what we've been doing for the past, you know, since 1962, I think, when, you know, obesity rates in America have skyrocketed. You know, it's like, you should eat this way, but it's making you fat and unhealthy, but you should keep eating this way. You know, and I just find that disappointing.
It's absurd. Like, it's we have the same issues up here. Like, it's no different. And I have to believe that. On some other level, there's, you know, politics and different industries that have more control than they want to let us believe. Or, I mean, there's no other reason for like you're saying, for a governing body to say, well, this clearly isn't working, but we're going to stay with it because it will work. Event, I don't know. What kind of reasoning would there be behind keeping what isn't working?
I try to avoid conspiracies, but a part of me always is like, okay, so some of these things don't add up, and like if you go down conspiracy road, there are some weird, you know, things about here in America, the FDA, you know, founded by some shady people, and there's a lot of money deals, and it was like the grain industry like pumped so much money in the FDA, and that's why, you know, we got that. And it, you know, if you follow some of these things, like logically, you're kind of like, okay, that I could see that, like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but, you know, it's sad that the, yeah.
That sounds so controlled. I mean, I think Monsanto has something to do with the FDA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's absurd. And to me, like, I have the same frustrations as you do. It's like, we're sitting here, one company wants to take control of the entire food industry, and it's like it's happening right in front of us, and we're not doing anything about it. Not, and at the very least, we're not educating ourselves about what's going on.
No. So Canada has a FDA equivalency, right? I mean, some Department of Health, Parliament or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how bad it is there, but the fact that, like, the head of the FDA, like, there have been, like, top-ranking FDA officials, like, leave, go work for Monsanto, come back to the FDA, leave, go to Monsanto, come back. Like, that should not be possible. Like, you cannot go work for a shady corporation that you're trying to make rules and govern over, and then, like, that just seems shady. That could be a whole episode. I could do a whole episode on, like, just how shady the FDA is. On the flip side, I will admit they have done some good things, but they have done some shady things.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. No question.
So we're coming up about to the end of the thing. I love when I have questions and the guest covers them before I can even get to them. One of my last questions was, what would you do to detox? I think we've covered that. If you've missed that, yeah, rewind back a few minutes. You'll get it. I'm going to move on to, I have one more. I have a fun question. I like fun. Fun question before we get to the rapid fire questions. And then I'll let you go enjoy your day in Slackline.
Sweet. It's a beautiful day. I'm looking forward to it today.
I hope the rain holds off so I can go to the fair. And we didn't talk about it, but I do a cheat day because I find that compliance works a bit better. So today's my cheat day. I'm going to go to the fair and eat some bad food. And then tomorrow I'll be right back on my normal diet. So
as long as you enjoy yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't like people get some weird food hangups, and that would be another whole thing we could talk about. Like, as long as you don't develop like weird hangups on food, this is really not a problem. Like, you know, I enjoy the healthy food that I eat, but I know eventually I will cheat, and I want to plan it, prepare for it, do it, get out of the way, and go back to my normal food. It just works for me and some other people. So
give it a shot. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, if you cheat, like if you plan a cheat day, at least you, like, sometimes we have something to look forward to, you know,
right.
We don't feel guilty because it was planned. It was set in a schedule, and it makes it easier to stay on track. I mean, cheat days aren't for everyone, but those of you that, you know, like you're saying, everyone's different. Everyone needs to see what works on their own body and their own lifestyle. If that works for you, then and go get it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've gone back and forth. I've tried doing it, tried not doing it. I tried. So now I do a once-a-week cheat day. Before, I've done a once-a-month cheat day. So, you know, self-experiment. Find out where it works best for you. So this question is reading through, I think, your About Me page on your personal page, the trueformlife.com, and which is really funny, by the way. I enjoyed your About Me. So you mentioned that you have cat-like reflexes.
I definitely have cat-like reflexes.
I have, which actually made me think about a funny story, which is why I, like, so how do you use your cat-like reflexes? Like, tell me about them. Like, tell me about a time that you use your cat-like reflexes.
This is an awesome question, by the way. Most interviews are so serious, and so I love
boring. Yeah, no.
All right, so this is kind of crazy. All right, I've always had quick reflexes. You know, from, I don't know if it's from athletics or something that was just, I don't know, born with. And then I think you still need to practice your craft. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I catch house flies.
Nice.
and I'm dead serious. If there's a house fly flying around, like buzzing around, and it lands on me somewhere, I'll snatch it up in my hand and throw it out, you know, let it fly away outside.
Nice. That is like next level reflexes. Like, catching a house fly is tough.
It's tough. No, sometimes I miss, and I don't catch all of them, but
I catch
more than I miss, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. So to supplement my entrepreneurial money, I have an overnight job where I stock, which is, there's no stress in that job, and that's what I like about it. And it's physical, so like just doing like a walking step monitor on my Samsung phone, the S Health app, last week I put in 170,000 steps in a week, so top 1%. And it's physical, which is why I like it. But the fun thing is, because it's mostly grocery type items that I stock, cans fall down a lot. So sort of the high point of my night is catching things. Like if I can like catch it before it hits the ground with my ninja like reflexes, you know, it's like I always like look around and see like, was that on camera? Did you see me? That was awesome. You know, and so I saw this today, and like just I think it was two nights ago, I knocked down a can, and I had something in my hand anyway, so I was trying to like put stuff up with one hand, and then had like a piece of trash or something I picked up off the floor with my other hand. So one can fell down, and my hand shot out and caught it, but then another can fell out like at the same time, and then I caught it with the hand that had the trash in it. And I just started laughing on the aisle. I'm like, that's fun.
So you're like, someone should be here to see this.
Yeah, like that. There needs to be like there needs to be like a TV show or a YouTube channel like greatest catches of the week. I'd watch it. You know, it's just finding joy in what you know your daily activities. Like, you know, if you're miserable all the time, then that puts stress on you. And if you have fun, then it's less stress.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, finding those little things, I mean, doesn't matter what it is or what you're doing. I mean, there's this quote that it often resonates in me when people talk about changing their lifestyle, changing jobs, or moving to a different place. And this always comes back to me. I don't know who said it, but here it is. It says, wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah. Yes.
So it doesn't matter whatever issues you have in life, they're going to follow you. So if you find a way to be happy right now, then you're just never going to find it.
Awesome. And if I was going to end the show on that, that would be a great ending. But I have some rapid fire questions. These don't have to be long thought out questions. You know, we're coming up to the end of our time here. So just knock them out quick. And if you don't have one, we'll just move on. No big deal.
You looking for one word answers or one sentence answers or
whatever the minimal effective answer you can give me.
All right.
You know, if that turns into a story, then we can talk about it. But you know, there's no need. These aren't tough hardball questions. These are just fun. I like to end them on a fun note. Yeah. So this is the Survival Punk podcast where you know music is a part of you know our soul here. So. What song are you jamming out to right now? What's your favorite song right now?
I'm old school. Like I'm old school. I got old soul. I put on some Frank Sinatra or some Elvis.
Nice.
And I'll just let it ride.
Awesome. I'm not a big Elvis fan, but I can definitely jam out to some Frank Sinatra. So one time I had a friend come over and I was listening to music. I like the music. Listen to music while I write, you know, blog posts and stuff. And I was jamming out to like big band music, and he's like, "I did not expect you to listen to that." And you know, it's fun. It's so music. Most recommended book.
Oh man, the one thing, no question, it changed my life, business life, personal life. The one thing.
Tell me, I haven't heard of that one. I don't think.
I think that was by. I have a handful that I would recommend, but I'll stick with that one. I think that one was by Gary Keller, and it just folks just like what you talked about earlier on in the show, like entrepreneurs, especially that's the lifestyle that we live. Is that there's always a new project that we try to juggle five different things at one time. It just talks about laser-like focus, what the benefits of it is, why you should pay attention to one area, and then. How to branch out from there. But I mean, doors always open. And I think for me personally, when I understood that five projects at once wasn't beneficial or efficient, that I could be better, I could be an expert, and I didn't have to take every job or every offer that came to me. I just focused. And I mean, that opened up a whole new world for me.
Excellent. It's easy when you're an entrepreneur to like get super distracted. Like, I'll be working on my website and I'll have like five windows open and then I'll get distracted and I'll go down a weird thing and then the first thing isn't done. And I'm like, no, get those windows out of here. Focus on that thing. Get it done. And then move on. Because I can't remember the quote, but it was like, when you multitask, you just fail at everything. It's like, focus on one thing. So I might pick that book up actually.
You should. Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's such, I read it like seven times. Seriously.
Oh, wow. On the road here yesterday, I just picked up Gary Vaynerchuk's Crush It on audiobook. Oh, that had me on fire. I'm like, I need to pull over and start like blogging right now. It'll get you. Yeah, two more questions. Top advice you'd give to the listeners?
Top advice would be to work towards slow, sustainable changes. So when we talk about lifestyle changes or we talk about results, everyone is results-driven in some way. Mm-hmm. I would say the best thing that you can do is start adding better quality to your life instead of taking things away, because I think we feel less than or lack of when we take away. So I would say add something healthier to your pantry, add something healthier to your fridge. And I think that once we make those sustainable changes in a forward motion, instead of feeling like we're moving backwards by taking away, once, you know, if we add apples to our fruit bowl, and it's usually stale candy sitting in there from last year, I mean, those additions are going to be in front of our vision. We're going to see them more often. We're going to be reminded of them. And then we're going to say, well, I had apples last week and the kids ate them. They're gone. We're going to buy them again and we're going to add more. Maybe oranges come or bananas next week. And I think by adding instead of taking away, that will increase your success and ability to be able to live a healthy lifestyle in a sustainable manner.
Awesome. I love it. Last question, and bringing it back to the fact that this is a survival podcast, and I do believe that fitness and nutrition are like the foundation to survival, because if you aren't healthy, you probably won't survive. So sort of a hypothetical fun question. You're stranded on a desert island, and you have all of your survival needs taken care of. What would you take besides anything to survive with? So, like, you know, personal favorite record or something. Like, what would you take?
I would take my slack line. Are there trees on the island?
Yes. Of course there are, yeah.
I would take the slack line. No question.
Awesome. That is the best answer I've had yet with that question.
Yes.
Yes. Answer winner, yes. Probably for a long time, too.
What other kind of questions or answers?
I think the last one was the woman would take her husband. So, you know, that's... I
have to say that, right?
Yeah, yeah, I have to, yeah. I mean, you need that to survive. You take your spouse with you. But yeah, slackline, good answer.
All right.
All right. And so tell people where they can find you at online.
My main kind of hub is going to be at trueformlife.com. That's where we run our monthly membership from. We design nutrition plans for you. We design workout, all at home workouts for you. And then we have a private and supportive group community, you know, that everyone's in there, you know, talking and communicating and supporting. Those are the three main areas where I found the most success, is having a supportive community, addressing nutrition and addressing fitness. So that's going to be my main website there. We do have a free 10-day fitness challenge there. If you all body weight exercises, all no equipment required, your listeners can head over there and jump on that for free if they like. And that's it. My show is there. My show is Exploring Mind and Body. I also have a website, exploringmindandbody.com, where all past shows are at, but it's a podcast as well. All basically holistic wellness, from fitness gurus to world-renowned authors. And I think that we would have a similar audience, and I think that some of your audience might get some benefits out of that too, James. So if they're interested, they could check that out as well.
Oh yeah, I've got the link in there, and I'm gonna start listening. I think I saw that you had Mark Sisson on there.
I did.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome, dude. High five. So I've got a couple of, like, you know, highball like guests that I want to have on, and Rob Wolf is on there, so I'm hoping to get him on soon. It's been great having you on, Drew. We had a fun chat.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure, James. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. It was awesome. I mean, I like the different format. I like being hanging out with asking answering different questions. I mean, You do a handful of podcasts, and it seems like the same kind of questions come up. So I appreciate your time, your questions, and the chance and an opportunity to sit down and talk with your listeners as well.
Yeah, I like to comically call this the most electrifying podcast on survival entertainment. You know, because if it's boring, who's going to listen, right?
That's right.
So thanks for coming on. I'll have links in the show notes, and then I'll drop you an email when it comes out. So for James from Cyberpunk Podcast, DIY to Survive, you guys.